Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Yeah, the drum.
And good evening. Many blessings to our supporters, our listeners, and everybody around the world. You know, we all live in the same world, but that doesn't make everything right, you know. Anyway, it's good to be here again, once again. And I was tripping out, you know, seemed like every time I turn around, there's a Gabby Petito truck, you know, that little white van, looking around, even passing down the highway in front of the house. Now that I never noticed it before, but since I heard about Gabby Petito, I noticed housing, tribal housing, they use a lot of them vans. I said, damn, all they're hustling Gabby Petito vans or something, you know. And speaking of that, you know, that whole case, sir, is, you know, messed up because they let the white boy get by with, you know, with that stuff. Anyway, looks like they found his body. I don't know if he committed Harry Carey or what, you know. Doesn't matter, but you know, that guy came back without that young girl when they left together, and he came back alone. You know, that's wicked right there when you leave somebody someplace. You know, I was talking about how they did that to my niece. When you do that, then the cops let you get by without talking to them. They say he won't talk to the cops. How, if I did that, if I showed up like that, they wouldn't just make me talk to them. They'd haul my ass in and have me strapped down and make me talk or something, you know. But that's how Washichu against Washichu, that's how they do it. You know, and just like Alex Baldwin shooting that casting or cinema, whatever they call them. I don't know enough about that stuff. But anyway, he shot one of their directors, you know, with a gun that's supposed to have blanks on in the movie set, you know. She's a cinematographer, I guess. But, you know, how can you be acting in a movie and they hand you a gun and you just shoot it and say, well, I thought it had blanks in it. You know, before you use a gun, it don't take long to check it, you know, and see, you know. But like I said, once again, Alex Baldwin, big famous wealthy guy, shoots this lady and says, well, I thought their blanks were in a gun, you know, kills her. And Alex Baldwin is a scandalous dude anyway, you know, and you know, he's been known to be pulling the wool over people's eyes. But the thing is, he got nerve to go talk to her husband and give him all the support. Man, if that dude killed my wife, I damn sure wouldn't want him around me, you know. But I guess that society is pretty damn strange. Pretty damn strange, you know, what goes on in that society. You know, like this Brian Laundry just driving home with the woman's van. She's found dead. He drives home. You know, who the hell would do that? But they do that and they get away with it, you know. It's just a shame, you know, that stuff like that happens out there and they give the most stupidest excuses, you know. Everything they do is stupid excuses. And, yeah, I don't blame Indians for trying to be Washichu and hang out there. You see the Washichu getting away with murder, I guess you want to do that too, you know. like I said, when the Indian does that, it's like crawling up a greasy pole. You ain't never going to make it to the top, you know. You can climb all you want. Matter of fact, I seen a ceremony in Taos, New Mexico, where they hang a sheep up there and blankets with a bunch of, you know, stuff in it, food and gifts. And they grease that pole, and whoever makes it up there can get that sheep and those gifts. Hell, I see people doing it for hours, man. I mean, really trying. And that greasy pole is pretty damn hard. Even when they had teams, like one guy lift that guy up and then that guy get on, have three guys up there. I guess they can do what they want as long as one of them makes it. Somebody eventually makes it, but, you know, after all kinds of tries and all that, you know. But that, in real life, that greasy pole, while Shichu's greasy pole, you ain't getting up that sucker, you know. So no sense in trying that game, you know. Then talking about, you know, like some guy raping a woman right on the train in Philadelphia. Probably heard about that. I mean, it's a scandalous society out there. Guy raping a woman, I guess something was going on 40 minutes or I don't know how long, it don't matter, but this guy's there raping a woman and everybody's acting like they don't see it, and some people are supposedly got their cameras out there, their cell phones, you know. Crazy. Poor girl, you know. I mean, like I said, it's scandalous society out there. And the other thing, you know, the American, all their murderous people like Custer, Chivington, all their leaders, you know, they recognize them as heroes. Columbus even had Columbus Day and all that. And then Colin Powell, look at Colin Powell. All I remember about Colin Powell, I know he is a general, a black general, and I know a black man getting up that high on the white man's greasy pole must really been doing something, you know. You know, must have hauled Vaseline with him. But I remember when the Iraq War, how he was the one who justified to bomb Iraq. And he pointed out all these weapons of mass destruction, and he set the plan out, you know, like a real case in court. And they knew damn well there was no weapons of mass destruction. He knew damn well that this was just a vendetta for George Bush. George Bush Jr. wanted to have war. There was more politics to it than that. But one excuse he had was because Saddam Hussein had threatened his dad, you know, before. So he had it in. And you know how the white man is. You give them some power and they're going to go for it. That's why cops have badges and guns and they're killing people, you know. They did that to Saddam Hussein when he wasn't even the one who attacked the Trade Center, you know. He wasn't even the one who bombed it. The guys who attacked the World Trade Center, they're dead. They died right after that on the plane. But they're going after somebody who planned it. So they accuse Osama bin Laden and other people. So for a few guys, they wanted to start a war. So they bombed Iraq and bombed Afghanistan, killed hundreds of thousands of people just for a few people. That's how the American lives their life. Colin Powell did that. You know? He did that. You know, they used him. He knows they used him. He knew they were using him when he did it. He was already, Secretary of Defense. How much higher on their greasy pole was he planning to go? You know? Anyway, it didn't go much higher. That Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, and forget that, Karl Rove or whatever his name is, George Bush. Man, they were all in on that, you know? They were brutal people. Brutal. That's brutal when you can order that a hit like that. I remember when they bombed Iraq after that. It was about 9, 10 o'clock at night. I was in a truck, had a TV in the truck. I was in Portland, Oregon, outside of Portland, Oregon, you know, a little bit outside of truck stop. And I was watching it about 9 o'clock, but over there in Baghdad, I guess it was about 4 or 5 in the morning. Boom, 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 they started. The Americans, the Washichu started bombing those Iraqis. And you know, I seen videos of the day before the bombing of Iraq, kids out there playing, riding bikes, having school, having this, having that, wedding parties, people eat at restaurants, people happy, living a good life. A couple months later, that place is tore up. People are scrambling. A lot of killing going on. U.S. over there, all this just madness. Colin Powell did that. So, you know, everybody's out there honoring this guy, the American. But I'm a Lakota. I'm a native of this country, and I know the history of what they did to us. I was born right in Rosebud, the hospital there. We used to live right in the bottom. Now they call that Squaw Valley, of all things. But I lived in the bottom down there in the hospital. They used to have little log houses, and we lived there, you know. Didn't have electricity, didn't have us, and in them days we just had comic books to read, you know. Everything was white, and we had a little schoolhouse up on the hill. I remember my brother went there, and he's tuned in too. My brother was up there going to school. I used to crawl up there just to watch, you know. And I did start school there really briefly. And then we went to California. But living on the res, we were the Indians there. And all the comic books, Superman, Flash Gordon, everybody is white. Everything you read, everybody's white. Up at the hospital, all the staff's white. Doctors, nurses, they're all white. The Catholics, the brothers and the nuns, the priests all walk the street in their black robes. They're all white. And they were all the authority over us. Every one of them. We lived under the white man's authority all my life, you know. And the things they did, the things they do. They took us to California with a big relocation promise, gave my mom and dad a couple hundred bucks, and I don't know, a couple months rent down there in the projects in LA. Didn't drop us off in Beverly Hills, took us to the projects. And that was the first time that I started realizing there's other people on this earth, you know. I remember we rode a train from Valentine to Omaha. First time I ever seen a black man in my life. I was really shocked. And then when we got to LA, man, there was black people, brown people, Asians, everything running around there. Man, you know, I said, wow, we were sure living in some kind of cage or something, you know. You know, it's like we lived in darkest Africa and came out all of a sudden. And man, where we lived in the projects, man, that wasn't no place to be living, man. And they were scrapping in there all the time, you know. I remember two girls robbed me coming from the store. I was about, hell, I must have been 6, 7 years old. And I went to the store for my mom and came on my way back. These black girls beat my ass, took the hamburger I bought at the store, took whatever money was on me, beat my ass. One thing is I had a big brother, so there was vengeance, you know. The thing about it is that's the world we live in, and we still live in this world today, and I see how they do it, you know, like how they started Iraq War. Now they use people of color, you know. Anybody can do that, you know. Make a black guy press the buttons and say, yeah, look, we're not racist. He's killing people too. And put Indians there. Indians, they're doing that. Draft us. Enlist us. You know? And make it be ambition, you know? So when the Indian gets, oh, we got a Native American judge. Oh, look, Deb Haaland. She's Secretary of Interior. I seen they just put some Indian in charge of Badlands, BIA, Interior. He's crazy. He has a suit on. Wears braids, curly hair, but wears braids, and got a mustache and goatee, you know, trying to look all. It don't even match. That style doesn't even match Indian, you know? Why the hell did they do that for? But that's what they do, you know? They brainwash their people. They lie, you know, research. People read books. Our people read books and believe everything they read on the books. Then they come back like that poor woman last week on the show. She came on the show, a black woman. I feel bad for her. But the point is, I couldn't agree with her, and I won't agree with her, because they read stuff, and they take, just because it's written in a book, they come back and say, I did my research. You know, well, you can read a comic book, that's research. You can read Flash Gordon, Superman, they got rocket ships in them books. You read them, you know, talk about gravity and stuff. You know, that's doing your research. Read a damn comic book. But these people actually believe what they read. That's why I'm really critical of people when they tell me they read this and read that. And they kind of believe it. I say, wow, what the hell's wrong with them? First of all, let's use common sense. You know, we need to use common sense, right? Let's use some common sense. just because it's in a book, that don't mean it's common sense. Common sense is what you have in your brain that tells you what's right and what's not right. You know, that's how Lakota lives. There's two things, what's right and what's not right. Washte and Shita. Two things right there. Washte and Shita. One is good. I can't say Shita means bad, but it means, you know, because sometimes we call kids Shicha, but we don't mean they're evil. We just laugh, Lila Shicha, you know. Shicha kind of means, you know, the opposite of good. It depends, you know. But we live this way, right and not right. There's no beauty and there's no ugly. That's how we live. And when you live that way, it's a real honest way to live. Because somebody can't come up to you looking like Bridget Bardot or Marilyn Monroe and you say, oh, she's beautiful. How? She ain't beautiful. Where's her heart? What kind of heart does she got? Or does she have? You know, what kind of heart? That's how we judge. You either got to have a good heart are not a good heart. That's how we live our life. That's why when you read a book and you read stuff, you look at it, you say, is this right or is it not right? I mean, just because somebody's really educated and learned vocabulary, learned, like when you go to school, they call it English, a class of English spelling and all that, then because you went to school and learned it, that makes that part right. That makes what you read right because you read it from somebody that learned that. So he's an educated person, so that makes it right. So you're going to believe everything that guy or those people write in a book. That's why people believe the Bible. That's why people believe everything. You know, that's why the American is still coming up with stuff. First, they want us to believe there was no humans here on this continent until 10,000 years ago when we showed up from China or someplace. They actually believe that stuff. And there's Indians out there that believe it because it was written in a book and because a white man told us in a classroom. Now here's Colin Powell. Military uniform, general stars. So everything he says is true. Here was a great man we just lost, they said. He was good. He was the idea of good, you know. That dude stood up for the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War and killed hundreds of thousands of people. For what? Because some people hijacked jets and flew into the Trade Center? Yeah, 3,000-something people died in the Trade Center. Yeah, I get you. But does that open the door for you to go over there with some fake baloney evidence and murder everybody in Iraq? I mean, people in Iraq and then people in Afghanistan, and not just them countries. Barack Obama was bombing Pakistan. They're bombing Yemen. They're over there. Look what they're doing to Syria. Look what they do to the president there. I mean, look what they do. But these are people that can write. These people that can type. These people that got English skills. They got skills. You believe them. You believe them. If an Indian has skills like that, we say, wow, he's a smart-ass Indian. You know? And then when you get to know him and see what's going on with him, you say, man, he ain't no smart-ass Indian. He's a dumb-ass Indian. He's just like the rest of us, except for he's dumber because he's crawling up that greasy pole. I mean, anybody that thinks they can make it to the top of a greasy pole by jumping in with the Washichu, you know, what do they call it? He's indulging in vanity. It ain't going to work, you know. It's just crazy how we have to live, you know. And, you know, like I was talking about, oh, yeah, one thing I was talking about, they, you know, Caucasians, they say Caucasians, everybody believes they're white, but real Caucasians aren't white. They live over there in the south, southern Russia, south, over in that area, Caucasus. I think that's how they say it, Caucasus. So a group of white people in the 1700s or 1800s went, you know how white people are, they grouped up and went over there and lived over there in the lands, what turns out to be a country called Georgia. And they mixed with those people over there, you know, after a couple hundred years. So people said they were beautiful people, you know, beautiful women. People with brown skin, brown hair, but blue eyes and stuff like that. The most beautiful people. So they didn't want to call them Georgians, but they call them Caucasians. So they said the most beautiful people were Caucasians. So there's where the white man jumps in and says, yeah, we're Caucasians. We're the most beautiful people. In their brain, the Washichu thinks he's the most beautiful human on earth. That's why they call themselves the supreme race, especially if they're blonde and blue-eyed, the supreme race. Do they really look beautiful to you? Do they look beautiful to me? They just look like Washichu to me, you know? And what I know about them is they stood for pain, you know? Blonde, blue-eyed, they stood for pain. They stood for authority. Not just blonde hair, blue-eyed, that's the stereotype white, but red-headed, green eyes, you know, gray eyes. White people, Washichu, they stood for pain. I was looking at them, how this white guy drug a black guy out of his car. There's a video. The black guy's he's paralyzed from the chest down. He can't even walk, but he's driving a car. Cops get out and tell him, get out the car. He said, I can't do that, sir. Well, you're going to get out or we're going to take you out. He says, sir, I'm a paraplegic, you know, and trying to tell him, I don't care what you are, you get the hell out that car. And the cop has a video camera on, but you can look at his arms. You can't see his face, but you can see those white arms, white hands. And that's what they did. They went over there, grabbed him by his paraplegic. He had kind of like, I guess, what do they call them? Those curly dreadlocks. They grabbed him by the hair. Drug him out. He was a paraplegic. He couldn't even, get up from the ground. They drug them all the way to the cop car and hurting them, you know, brutal. That's how they are, you know. And I seen another video just yesterday looking at it where they shot a black man. And when he was down, they tased him. And his little two-year-old boy was right by him. His woman had a kid in her hand, and they were popping caps at him. And these white guys, freeze, freeze, you know, roll, after he's already down. Man, what kind of humans are they to do that? Well, I don't like to base this whole show on them because you know what? In their brain, we're hating on the white man, but that ain't true. Because I went out there in the world and I met a lot of white people. They're nothing like these Americans whites, you know? And the authority that they have is brutal. How they just take land, use the land, sell our land, take away our land. Now they can stop you if you have money. They took away. Some people had cash to buy cars. You know, they're going to auction, so they took cash. They took all their money from them. They say, if you have that much money, you must be in the criminal. And they have a law. They can take that from you. You know what I mean? So it's a real brutal society out there and government. The whole point of us, you know, and why I talk about this so much, you know, all the things that goes on, you know, and our people by trying to get along and trying to get into the world, trying to be a judge, trying to be a police, trying to be in the politics, trying. And none of them gets up there. Deb Haaland made it up there. But look at Barack Obama. He became president. But you look at it, his mom was a white woman. Deb Haaland's dad is a European, pure white guy. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not their fault. But it's like a couple Indians I know, musicians and entrepreneurs, they're half Jew. They got better opportunities. And yeah, I root for them because, you know, I like to play music and things like that. You know, I like to try to make money on my own, you know, little business. It never works for me, though, you know. Everything I do does fail. But you see, there's some things in life that I try to support for our people. And I do support education. I do support it. Don't think I don't. I mean, I do support our children learning, going to school, and all that. But I'm not into seeing them try to crawl up that greasy pole. You know what I mean? I'm not into that. I don't want to see that. Because there's so much disappointment in that way of life. A lot of disappointment. And, you know, I don't want to see it. You know, the worst thing I hate to see in life is our people when they're disappointed. And when our people are sad. And when our people are lonely. that's the ugliest thing that I hate to see in our people, especially our children. I hate to see it. They got to have some kind of chance. So we need to direct them to the right combination, the right way of finding a way to support themselves. And I tell you right now, the American is the greasy pole. Try your best to pretend there's life around it. Try to get you a hustle going. I mean, with some knowledge. Education isn't everything, but it looks like, you know, in some case, you know, you got to try to bullshit the bullshitter. That means we got to try to, we try to do the best we can to get along. Can you guys hear me out there? Anyway, I really pray that our people can find better solutions than the greasy pole deal, you know, and stay off that greasy pole. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Stay off it. And, you know, I have Phillips, his lines open, and Jennifer's lines open, and my brother's out there, I thank him for supporting us, and all my big brother, he's there. And you know, you guys, of course, can chime in when you want, you know. I don't know if you heard everything I was talking about, but, you know, I'm saying we need, our children need to have some education in something. They need to know how things are made, how things are built, and how things work. So we need to start from the ground up, you know. And when I was young, I watched people working and stuff, you know, and building house, cutting wood, hauling water, and into bigger things. We need, and now I'm glad that I did all this stuff, because this house I'm living in, everything in it I done myself, or we done. You know, I put the plumbing in, we put the sewer line, you know, everything. And I thank my bro Chug over there in Porcupine for, if he's tuned in, sometimes he listen, for bringing me finally a propane tank after all these years of trying to get one. You know, things cost money. You can't just go get stuff. You gotta, you know what I mean? You gotta let Wakantanka do things, so you don't, you know. In other words, I try to do things in a spiritual way. If I don't have it, then I say, well, Mukashila must not want me to have it this time. But maybe I'm going to get it. And everything I get, everything, the way it works is it comes to me some kind of way. And that's what I'm saying. We have to have spirituality, and we have to believe in ourselves, but we have to get up off our own ass. You know, you ain't going to do nothing just laying around and expecting your mom and dad to do everything for you. You know, you got to get out there and bust your ass. And then things will work. You know, I'm probably at the peak of my wealth, of my Mazoskow wealth, you know, my Washichu wealth, you know, I'm probably at the peak. And when an Indian's at his peak, you know, in life, that usually means he's like in debt, you know, but he's making it, you know, in debt, got creditors and everything. And, you know, you never know, always worried about warrants, always worry about anything. But that's how we live, you know. And but spirituality and everything, but, you know, we have to work ourselves. We have to work. And that's what, you know, so that's my message to you. And, you know, and like I said, Philip, Jennifer, Jennifer, how you doing, Jennifer?
Good.
Wow. That's good to hear.
Okay. For a second, I thought I had you on mute.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Good evening.
No, it's all right. Well, I'm glad you're here, and you know. And,
yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, but time flies.
Yeah, sure does. To your topic, I homeschooled my kids. I took them out when my son was around 8 years old and my daughter was a little bit older. I think she was around 12-ish. But their paths were different than normal because they were not very fitting in their schooling, because they were pretty much challenged with the way the white man thought and what they were taught in ceremonies. And sometimes they were verbal, and that's kind of how I started public speaking, because the teachers had asked me to come in and talk to the kids after my kids had expressed themselves. But majority of it, they knew the truth of, like a rock in science, it's not considered a living thing. But my daughter, when she showed me the paper, I told her, well, you can answer it two ways. You can answer it to appease the teacher in the way that they think that it's not living, or you can answer it in the way that we're taught by our ancestors that it is a grandfather, and we do have communication on a whole different frequency. But if you answer our way, you're going to get it wrong. But it will give you an opportunity, if you want to challenge her and tell her why you answered the way you did. And she chose the latter, but still the teacher considered it wrong because it was not in their way of thinking that was the correct answer. And yet my daughter was correct. So their education was not really something that my kids could benefit from. They were way advanced anyway. And so I took them both out, and I was encouraged by this other lady that was homeschooling her native children, foster children, and her own children. And what she told me was, they're not going to grow up stupid or retarded, in a sense that they're not going to know that four quarters equal a dollar, and just basics in life and human, what we need to do to close shelter ourselves and all this stuff, and what is really important in life. And I looked at that as for me to understand that my father was aging at that time, so I took my kids out so they could have a real education with him. And they still are processing a lot of things that they heard him teach while he was alive. And they're now in their 30s, early 30s and mid 30s. So they're doing really good as far as what they wanted to do. I didn't press any, like the regular school setting, like on what kids have to do online in waking up and, logging in at a certain time and sit in a Zoom classroom of that sort. My kids' classrooms were their own curriculum. I developed whatever that they wanted to do. I asked them, what is your passion? That is what I really asked both of them, and I worked around that. And I said, if you want to be a midwife, then you're going to have to know this, this, and that. And, you know, and they both eventually got to go back to school to get a skill. But yet at the same time, there's still some challenges with the way that the white people think with their curriculums in school. And so, I don't know, I feel like our own school systems kind of get caught up with that as well. And it steers us away from what our own history, our own everything is. But what was unique about my daughter when she went back into one of the schools was on the res, and they had a special class for her and other natives that were from medicine families, that, you know, Tanupa families that were offsprings of people that carry altars. And so they got to mingle with each other because they're in a whole different realm in the way that spirits contact them, even during school days. And that's a whole different thing because they were both gifted, my kids are. And so they had to be with other people that understood these powers that came with the way that they were groomed and the way that they were conditioned by the spirits themselves. So having both worlds thrown at them, it was not a challenge, but it was, we had to learn both ways of balancing, playing their white man games and rules and education and learning what the spirits teach. And so that was their education.
Yeah. You know, it's strange because, you know, my baby girl's taking class on the internet. And one class I don't mind, you know, is Zoom, of course, and it's Spanish class. But the other classes, I just, you know, I finally got the books and stuff like that, you know, but I'm with you on that. Rather teach, you know, because she never been to school in her life, my baby girl, but you know what? She can read and she can write and she knows how to add and subtract. And she does pretty good just without no school, without me never even attempting to give anything. And I remember my son, you know, he has visual problems. And when he was small, you know, went to a event, a Special Olympics, and all these kids were there. And when they started it, they all had to stand up. And when they did the Star Spangled Banner, even him, he put his hand on his chest. He don't know. You know, he can't see. But he was there doing that. And I wasn't going to go say, hey, don't do that, you know. I just letting them go, you know. But, and I also remember when Obama was running for president, he come back, he'd be saying, Obama, Obama. And when Obama won, he was really happy, you know. And I was, you know, I didn't want to be all negative, but of course that's a negative thing to me because Obama ain't nobody. You know, right. He was killing people just like Colin Powell. He was using drones in Pakistan without no war doctrine, just doing what he wanted, you know, doing things he did. And he wasn't helping our people out. He wasn't, never was. Put on a big show in Standing Rock and act die. People like that. You know, they judge people that way. If you got a big white smile and look around, boy, they fall in love with that. And these politicians are good in that, you know. But like I said, you know, they passed this American sympathy to our children when they go to school. Even here, Indian school, St. Francis Indian School, they're kind of changing. They get up and sing on the drum in the mornings, you know. They're kind of changing, but still, you know, still they got this big American. They got the kids thinking they're going to live the American dream. And you know, I kind of don't appreciate that, you know, myself, because like I said earlier, it's the greasy pole.
And, yep.
You know, I'm all for education. I'm all for our kids working. There's so much things that we can do in this world with education and working. It doesn't mean you're a Washichu, because the Chinese work and they're not Washichu. Asians work. Russians do the same thing. Other countries, they all do it. It's not an American thing to go to school and work. You know? But you need to get something going to take care of yourself. And I encourage that, you know? I don't encourage military, you know, at all. But yet, you know, in the military, I sure learned how to shoot guns and, you know, shoot grenade launchers and all that, you know. And so what do you got to say, Philip? Anyway, but, you know, the thing about it is we need to, our children need something, but the most important thing they need is their own cultural identity. They need spirituality, real spirituality, you know, not a spirituality that's like, I'm a baptized Catholic, because everybody got baptized when I was a little guy. You know, didn't matter what you believed in, you was getting baptized. That was the proper thing to do, you know, get baptized. And it's an event out in the city. The Mexicans, they're into that baptismal stuff and having godfathers and showing up, big event, you know, big party time and all that, you know. Get baptized, have a big party, and get drunk for next 2 days, next week. You know, that isn't spirituality. I've seen people that were really Christians, and they were spiritual, you know, but not too many of them, you know. So I'm just kind of like I want our kids to start from the ground up and learn reality in a traditional and a cultural way, the way we do it. Not the way somebody else throws on us, but the way we do it. You know, the prayers, the Inipi, how we have to haul the rocks, make the fire, haul the rocks. Start first cutting the wood, you know, having wood for this, building that Inipi, everything from ground up. And a lot of Inipis, they're, you know, Lila Unshika, they're like, you know, they're there though, you know what I mean? And they're there, and we can't say, you're supposed to do it this way. I don't go to his sweat lodge because he made his Inipi the wrong way, you know, that's how they are. To me, Wakan Tanka supports us in the best things, the best way we can, you know, like, if that's all we can do, he supports it. If you don't make the sweat lodge out of willow and you got nothing else but ash or cherry, go, you know, whatever you got to do. But we do it this way, you know. The whole thing is we're down to earth. And we don't pass the money bucket around in between rounds, you know.
Yeah.
What if we did that, huh, Jennifer? What if, okay, time to pass the money bucket around in the sweat, you know. Now,
be done in the dark.
Yeah. By the time it got around, people would say, there's nothing in it. You know, stick it out the door and there's still nothing in it, you know. You know, or people ain't going to do that, you know. You know, everything we do is not involved with money. And it's just like this radio show, this podcast or whatever somebody wants to call it. You know, I don't run around, never did, out here telling people, I need this much, or we're not going to be able to do the show. I'm not, blah, blah. You know, I've been doing this show because I prayed about it when it started, and that's how it goes, you know. And I, you know, I thank people who helped from their heart, and I'm not going to ask people to do nothing, you know. If they support us, that's good. If they're tuned in, then that's good. If they're getting something good out of what we talk about, I like it better. And that's the purpose, to try to share some of our deep thoughts with the outside world that probably never heard it or missing something like this. You know, I'm sure because I see it. There's black people and white people, all people tune into us because they feel that this is genuine, that this is, you know, the real thing, you know. We ain't trying to, you know, I ain't sitting here with a white shirt and tie on just to be a broadcaster, and I ain't trying to sit here looking like $1 million with a big old giant mixing board in front of me. I mean, if you could see me now, you'd probably cover your eyes. No, I don't mean it's that bad. But you see, that's how we do it, and everything is simple, you know. And I pray for help all the time. I pray for, you know, for things to move forward. And I believe that Wakan Tanka is there for us, but he wants us to work on things ourselves, you know. We're not meant to go lay out in a freeway and not get run over. We got to use our brains. And we can't, and it's not meant for us to be trying to climb up no greasy poles. You know, I think we make life barely but we're making it. And I hope that, you know, life is better because, like Philip, you know, I a couple of weeks ago, he was threatened, you know, felt threatened. And I know the spirits are helping them. And, you know, they will help us. That's how it is. And it's just, we can't try. It's not good for to be in a situation to get disappointed. Disappointment is a real depressing thing. When you say, man, you know, it's like I caught myself doing that. I was so sure I was going to get my income tax, you know, that I had a big plan and was looking forward to this big plan in here, no income tax. Matter of fact, IRS said I owed them money. Oh, talk about depressing. I was, you know, but I mean, I didn't go insane. I mean, I just look at it as been there, done that. You know, we've been there, done that in a lot of times. It's good for us to seek everything. And just like Brother John Davis over there, he said, it's always good to hear the other side. So I always listen, you know. I listen to what's going on. And I might not, people might not think I'm noticing them, but I keep an eye on things going on with people around me. And you know, like even with you, Jennifer, and Philip, and my brother, and you know, relatives, you know, I keep an eye out, and I always try to look at a way to be of some kind of assistance. The biggest way I can be of assistance for somebody is, you know, welcome them in my home, you know. That's a big assistance, you know. Give them something to eat, you know, let them, you know, rest or whatever. Let them, you know, help them out. Because there's people out there living under severe stress. People living in pure scramble. You know, and there's no way to help them financially. But I always tell them, man, if it gets too bad, you know, come here, you know, who will, you know. And that's what I try to offer, you know. And I see things and, oh, I want to tell Ben Nava, hello, and that's good to hear him down there in Texas. Chief Ben Nava, and that's an honor to have him be around and tune in, you know. And, you know, we have a life out here in the world, and we have to try to do what we can to teach our young people, like your children, Jennifer, you know, they're in the spiritual way of life. And they're taking a role in it. And that's an honor. You know, that's something on you. And even like Brother Ben there, you know, his family supports some Sundance. They sing and everything. And I always think about Russell Means. All his children, all of them Sundance. I mean, I'm pretty sure every one of them Sundance and carry a chalupa. Because I know a few of them Sundance with us and Porcupine. And I know that some of them that didn't Sundance, but they came in Humblecha, And they sung that, you know, when, remember when Russell had the one in Wind Cave, sung that. And I always admire that when our people teach this way to their children. And of course, I honor Ben Nava for that, his children. Because I really wish my kids could have been this way. My son, you know, he sings and he believes this way. And my daughter, she's baby girl, but she's learning this way. And I feel bad because my older ones, man, they're berserk, you know? You know, but I have some new ones, some new blood that's out here, and they're working on it, you know, and I'm happy for that. Like some of the things, the simple things we had in life, you know, our kids aren't doing this nowadays, you know. And because they're not doing it, I was looking at, you know, relatives came over. He wants to, you know, he needs to move a trailer house, so we're going to help him do that. But, you know, it's an old guy. And his sister, I know him, we're all old people. And I was remembering when we were young here, everybody was friendly to each other. I mean, this whole town I live in Rosebud, Spring Creek, you know, we were all always, you know, in something. We knew each other. Every family in this town when I was growing up, I must have ate at their house. We must have ran out together, went swimming, fishing, hunting together. Nowadays, this new generation, I don't know. They ain't like that. Matter of fact, I have a bunch around me. I know their parents, but I don't know them. And they don't even try to know us. They keep away from us because they're, you know, people want to drink and party. They know you're not doing that. Then they keep away from you. This new generation is really separate from each other. They fight each other. They don't get along, and wow, it's really how they are. And I was talking to a relative today, a guy my age, and we were remembering when we were young how we were all, you know, visit each other and all that, go to ceremonies and things like that. But this new age not doing that. Why? Well, a lot of people say because now we got all this technology. We have, you know, computers. We have these iPhones. We have all these things. And kids, like, when I was young, I go down the street. There's people out in the street shooting marbles. We used to play marbles, walk around with a sock full of marbles. You know, when we used to fly a kite, we made the kite. Everything we did was down to earth. And kids don't do that no more. This internet, I like the internet for myself. It entertains me. However, because I'm old and I don't let the internet destroy my mind and destroy my soul, not even Facebook. But the internet gives these young kids the wrong idea. I seen this young Indian girl, really chepa, out of shape. You know, she probably felt homely, no boyfriend. She's sitting there watching YouTube, listening to rap. And I kind of went behind her and looked what she was watching, you know, nice cars, rapper, and jewelry and, you know, limousines and all the stuff you see on YouTube and like when they have MTV and all that. So our kids see that stuff and they dream that stuff. And the only way they can think of achieving that is a fact to imitate what they see and maybe deal some drugs, maybe go get drunk, get high, go out, look for a car, you know. They all want a nice car. They all want everything. And as parents, how do you get them a new car? Then when they get a car, what do they do with it? They don't even know how to change spark plugs, change tires, or nothing. They just want to get in it, throw a cigarette in their mouth, hang their arm out the window, and drive around till they wreck or it busts up. So I feel sad. They live in disappointment. You know, there's a lot of disappointment out here. And I feel bad because we have the best gift for them. These medicine men that have Sweat Lodge, they have Sundance, they have ceremonies. They do everything. It's there for them. But how do you get, you know, you go to a Sweat Lodge over here. If it's jam-packed Sweat Lodge, that means there's probably 15, 20 people there. Well, there's 20,000 Indians on the rest. Why is only 15 people going into Sweat? I mean, maybe they have 20 other Sweat Lodges going on the same night. You add up all them people in those Sweat Lodges, that still ain't a high number. You add up the Sundances, the Lakotas, in our communities that are pipe carriers and Sundances, there's not a lot of them. The majority of the kids here, one even got in an argument with me because he believes in Christianity. And when you believe in Christianity, you're an argumentative person. You want to argue with people, elders and everything. You want to, they want to put down the traditional spirituality. So most of our res is on a different level in a different way. And there's only a handful that live this way. When I hear a young kid singing songs, man, I'm proud of that kid. I start, you know, letting that kid know I appreciate it. Because it's really important. They need to feel good that somebody appreciates what they're doing. But I look at all the stuff that's going on and the sadness. I say, wow, man, you know, what happened to our people? And this, I've been noticing, you know, in my 70 years, I notice in the last 50 years, things changed. The last 25 years, everything is practically was lost. We're down to bare minimums. Now, you can't even find nobody to have ceremonies. You know, very few sweats, very few things happening. The ones that do have them, I appreciate them. I honor these men that do this. And I honor our people that live this way, you know. And our La Costa people, and I'm speaking of our La Costa people, and there's a lot of tribes, in general, we're spiritual, but there's so much influence out there that drags them away. Our people, when something goes wrong, they immediately grab sage or and want to smudge azelia. You know, they want to do something. They do have the spirituality in them, but when things are going good, no more spirituality. But they do have some with them, you know. Hey, Philip, are you still there or no? Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, our people really need to be happy with what they have and who they are. Because you look at the society out there, just going berserk, you know. There's some really heavy stuff going on out there in the world. Good that they just read about it and don't live in it. But there's a lot of things going on out there, you know, like I was talking about earlier about what's that actor's name? Just shot a stunt person, you know. And, you know, I didn't know it was a real live round in there. And they said somebody gave them the gun. What kind of people are they? You know? I mean, they're making millions of dollars for making movies. They have lots of money to put in movies. How hard is it to make sure you ain't got a blank? So I don't feel like it was a blank. I almost suspect that Alex Baldwin purposely killed this young woman. Maybe he got mad because she shunned him or something. You know? I honestly don't believe what he's saying. And then he got the gall to go over and tell the woman's husband how sorry he is and gives all his support. Matt, and, you know, and her husband says, yeah, he's standing by us. Man, if I was him, I'd say, get the hell away from me, man. You killed my wife. You know, I wouldn't want nothing him around. But there's some strange people, you know. And I said, you know, there's some wicked stuff going on there, you know. Real wicked things going out there in the world. And we don't need that in our societies. We don't need that stuff, you know. Like them January 6th rioters, you know. Now they're all copping pleas for misdemeanor charges. And then there's some of them that, you know, actually hit cops with fire hydrants, sprayed them with bear spray, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, they're out free and they're out there. And a couple of them that are in jail are really griping, you know. You know, and then Donald Trump is over there supporting them, like the woman that got shot busting through that window. Man, I wouldn't do that because, to me, if you do something like that, you can expect to get shot. Those cops guarding those buildings have guns for a reason, to protect them buildings. And why, you know, I mean, this is different than out in the street on a cop beat. When you go into a place, they hire security with guns to stop you from coming in. And that's what happened. This woman, are they that stupid? You know? But they rile each other up, you know? And they all think that they got rights because they're white people. White people act like their rights can't be violated, you know? I mean, I was reading where they're finding dead children. You know, people out there, they kill little children, 6 years old, 5 years old, you know, wicked stuff. I just feel bad that society is influenced by that same society that's living in that kind of madness. You know, I don't say defund the cops. How stupid. You know, I don't like cops, but you know what? The reason why I don't like cops is because they pack guns and they use them. Take the guns away from them. Still pay them. But take the guns away from them. You can be a cop without a gun. I mean, think. You know, how many of us are raised by our parents who didn't use a gun on us, but made us go to the room, made us be quiet, made us behave, you know? You don't need a gun to handle society. But when you use guns to deal with society, the society is going to use guns to do something to you, you know? And that's why police are getting killed, because people know if they get caught, they better shoot that cop down, you know? So there's violence. When you live with violence, you're going to, you know, the smart brain, intelligent people are teaching you that violence. They always say violence don't work. They have domestic violence classes, how not to use violence. But at the same time, they use violence, the American, you know? They bombed the trade centers September 11th, 10, 15 guys. So what does the U.S. do? They go over there and murder the hell out of hundreds of thousands of people in another country, you know, using violence. And what cracks me up is then when terrorists come over here, you know, like one guy shooting up at Fort, that one in Texas and different places where they had terrorists and all that. And then these people say, hey, look it, since I've been president, there has been no 9/11. Well, there's only been one 9/11. I don't remember anybody doing that in the 70 years I live. Only one 9/11. But these presidents say, look, since I've been president, we've been stopping this and stopping that. They ain't stopping nothing. They're just telling you they stopping something. They're just arresting people to say, look what we caught. Send a guy up the river for something he didn't do. What they're doing is pulling the wool over and bullshitting the whole country and everybody in it. There's been only one 9/11. And they took down them trade centers. But if I remember correctly, some years before that, some guy tried to bomb them trade centers. So there was something going on with them trade centers. Why didn't they bomb the Empire State Building? There's a whole bunch of other places they could have bombed, but they've been after the trade centers. Maybe whoever owned the trade centers didn't pay their bill or something, you know? But when these people try to take credit and say, there's been no attack since I've been president. Well, there was only one 9/11. Name something else that happens like that. I know there's a white guy up there and shooting out of a hotel room in Las Vegas, just shooting random, killing people. You know, there's a lot of that kind of news going on, you know, where the white man's out there putting on SWAT team clothes and going out there murdering people. Like that young kid, that Rittenbauer, whatever his name is, in Wisconsin. Now they're already getting a plan to give him self-defense. They went and raised millions of dollars for him already, you know? And you know, they're the ones starting the troubles. They're the ones starting those wildfires in California. Some white lady started some of that stuff, you know? It's a real scandalous society, you know? Just like this police chief says she was told to have an abortion or be fired, you know? Minnesota officer on a high-speed chase, caused a wreck and killed some people. Driving 80 miles an hour inside of a town just because he thought he had the right. You know, well, looks like they're going to charge him. They ought to charge him. I don't care who the hell you are. You shouldn't be driving 80, 90 miles an hour in a residential area. Anybody's going to walk out on the street. Anything can happen. You know, people cross the street right in front of you. They don't even look. I've seen that. And they don't look because in their brain, they got the right to walk across that street. So the society thinks they all got rights. But man, before I cross the street, even walking to Walmart, when I get out the car and go Walmart, I make sure no car is going to run over the baby or the daughter or anybody, because they will run your ass over. Some white guy almost ran me over at Home Depot. I didn't get out of his way fast enough. He punched it. I barely got out the way. He did it on purpose. He had a mean face, too. I mean, there's road rage. The stress out there that people live in is a monster. And we got to cruise around in that stuff, you know. I just hope that we can get through all this. And that's why, you know, when we talk, it sounds like we're picking on Washichu. But if another race of people came over and took over us and was treating us like they are, we'd be talking about them too, not hating them. You know, they can't call what we do as hate. What we do is point it out and educate our people, because our people, like I said, they'll just walk across the parking lot, Walmart, without realizing those white people will run you down on purpose and say, oh, he stepped out in front of me, you know. And so is that hate, to treat your people to defend themselves against an invasive species? You know, spirituality is the best thing we got going for us. You know, and I hope that we can be responsible for teaching more spirituality. But one thing I was going to get back on, you know, like I mentioned a little earlier about that woman, you know, that was on last week. And we had some of that happen before. I wasn't trying to intentionally be negative to her because she was a black person. Because, you know, that isn't me. What I was doing was pointing out what I do believe, and that she's trying to read anything she can to get, you know, to feel good about her culture. And one thing she's trying to say is they were here 10,000 years before the white man. I could believe that if she had some facts. The only fact, not because she read it. You ain't going to sit here and make me believe something you think you know because you read it. And I asked her to speak her language.
Oh, I speak Italian, French, Spanish. You start. I said, wait, I didn't ask you that. I said, speak your language.
Because if they were here 10,000 years ago, that language of the people who were here 10,000 years ago would really be existing. It would be existing. And that language does not exist. You know, it don't exist. So that's my point, you know. I hope that, you know, like I said, I pitied her for trying to stand up for something she was taught to believe in by reading or by a bad influence. It's like the German people. The German people caught hell over Hitler. You know? And the German people that believed in Hitler were some loyal people. And I like loyalty. You know? The loyalty they had, like some of them, they put them on the firing squad. They said, you have any last thing to say? And they looked straight up proudly and said, Hail Hitler. Boom, 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 they're dead. You know, that's some real loyalty. Loyalty is good. But what ain't good is being loyal to the wrong things. We can't be loyal to the American Indian movement when the American Indian movement tells us to support the police. Or the American Indian movement tells us to vote for the American. When the American Indian movement starts all of that and we follow them because you're loyal to AIM, that's baloney. The American Indian movement was because we were getting discriminated on. We were getting attacked. We were under fire. We were getting murdered, our people. Our women were disappearing, still are. Our children, our schooling, our education, everything. Now, I don't call that loyalty. You know, like I said, those people were loyal to Hitler. I like loyalty. But you got to know when someone's a bad leader. You have to have the common sense to know that. A lot of people followed Hitler because they believed in him. Because he made promises and looked like something good was going to happen. But we can't have that. You know, when we got other Indians, because they got educated and they went to school telling us to live life this way or that way, and it's against our principles, we got to know that. You know, when people start talking to us about Jesus Christ, an Indian, telling us to be Christians and starts telling us about Christianity. When I said at the beginning of the show, when I was a little boy, these Catholics roamed the streets. They were a gang. They whipped kids. They punished kids. They were mean to kids. And the only kids that got through were the ones who obeyed them. And they obeyed them to be like them. And some of these kids grew up. Now they're influenced to try to get us to step with them. You know, we have to use our head on who's our leader. And I'm not trying to be no leader. I'm not out there telling you people to obey me. You know, one thing about our way of life, our spirituality, is we're not forcing you to go to a sweat lodge. We're not forcing you to go to ceremony. We're not forcing you to be a pipe carrier. We're not forcing you to be a sun dancer. We don't force nobody. It's got to come from your heart. You know, it's got to come from your heart. When you start forcing people to do this and that, when you use force, then that must mean that what you're teaching is not right. Because if it was right, people would automatically go for it. But if you got to kill a child's son, a child's father, to make the child fear you and do as you say, then something's wrong. I ain't telling people, forcing people not to be American. You can go ahead and do it all you want. I'm just saying, don't expect me to go there with you. Just like people use MMIW because it sounds good. But yet, here's one of the main ones promoting that over there, dumping a Unchika woman 1,300 miles from her home and getting her locked up and busted and accusing her and then going home. But they work for MMIW, are supporting that. You know, we got people doing stuff out there for money, for their own personal egos. And we can't have that. You know, I invite anybody to come and speak. You know? But when you're out there, most people ain't gonna speak if they think they're better than you. They think they're better than you, then they're going to grab a white man's microphone. They'll sure talk on that white man's microphone. But to give message to the people, to who listens, to say this radio program, we all know that people out there listen because we get people that call in. And they may point out their dislike or try and throw a new something on us. But they're still listening to us. There's listeners out there that tune in to us. And I tell people, if you have a voice, come share it. You know, but don't come up here to argue. Don't come around to argue and think you're better. Don't do that. If you're equal and have a voice and have something that our people need to know, or your people need to know, you're welcome. This program is for all of you. I have black men on here, white men. I have Russians on here. I have Germans on here. You know, all different tribal members, had people with different languages, some people that don't even understand English, but tune in so they can get it translated and they can tune in. There's a lot of things happening, and I encourage people. And do you have anything else, Jennifer? Are you on mute?
Yeah, I was.
Oh.
I'm here. I'm back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just listening in on everything, and I like that one you said, they were taught by a bad influence, and that itself says a lot on so many different levels with just the way that they think spiritually or just everything, that they don't seem to be exposed to anything else, to know anything else. And anybody that's listening, it's good that they're expanding their minds and listening and taking in and things. I appreciate everything that you say, because it often makes me grow too, of looking at things in a perspective that we can get caught up in this white man's world and start diluting our own thoughts, because we're in a sea of people that doesn't know much, and we are a very small scale on the global scale of those of us that carry this ancient wisdom and carrying chinupas and doing these ceremonies. And I think it's very imperative that we take our children to ceremonies. Too often I see adults coming, and I had gone to a sweat one time when this whole circle seemed to just focus on themselves, but I challenged them. I said, where are your children? Bring them. That's how they're going to learn. That's how we taught our kids. And I dragged my kids everywhere. And I said, I don't care if it's a neighbor's kid or your niece or nephew, or just find a kid and bring them. And only one person heard me the next time. And he brought his nephew, because he was single and didn't have any kids. So I think that's really important. These kids do have something to turn to, and instead of going to bars or whatever that they do. And, you know, I just hope that back when I was raising my kids, there was a lot of programs available for, there was a lot of things happening here in Denver, especially with different youth programs, and they really were able to stay connected with other kids socially. Even though they weren't in a homeschool setting, they didn't lack on anything, because I had them around other kids just like them too. So a lot of these kids are now grown up and gone their own ways and doing things, but the kids are hanging in there and bringing in other people that are ready to change their ways or whatever, and be a better influence towards them too. But I just hope, I still have faith in our seventh generation, though. I believe that they are gifted and they do exist, and they are part of the prophecies that are to be our leaders. And it's just not for the natives, but it's also for all mankind, all different colors. But I think the ultimate thing universally is that they all have to stay connected to the natural laws of understanding how we're all connected spiritually.
Exactly. You know, I was thinking about, it's like when you go to prison for a long time, and when you're in prison, you see all this stuff going on, you know, everything going on. And when you see that,
you
kind of like,
you know, even this last, how do they call that, COVID.
Oh, you know what? I heard Vimper on.
Oh,
I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah, we've been listening to you from the beginning. Yeah, my phone got broke, so we had to use Larry's tonight.
Oh, wow. I feel bad. I wanted you to have some input, you know. Well, you got a couple minutes. Give me some input.
You know, Larry said he wasn't a bad influence, and that's one thing he wants you to know right away. No, you know.
No, he's the one.
Like,
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just listening to what you were saying, you know, about all this stuff going down, you know, just, you know, as long as all these Indians in the United States or Native Americans or whatever, you know, me, myself, I say Lakotas. As long as we don't stand together, like Leonard Trudeau used to say, and go after these things that are important, they're going to do away with the Indians before too long. You know, they're going to say we're Washita.
Uh-huh.
And the majority of these people, if you look around, that's where they're headed, you know. We're going to all be Washita. We're going to be red white men, you know. And a lot of these people are accepting that already, like he's talking about these Christians. And you talk about that Hasa Pawinga, you know, that said black people were here first. You know? And all these people, they read books and, you know, these books, they don't understand that. It's one man's story. One man's telling the story. And that's what he's seen. That's what he believes. Just like at the Battle of the Little Bighorn. They called it a massacre until they heard the Indians' side of the story. And it wasn't just the Sioux. It was the Crows, all these tribes that were involved before the truth came out. And that's the way it is. Like this black girl, where did she, I did research, you know, where did she get her research from, you know? And us Lakota people, we go way back and we have a history. We know who we are. We know where we come from. And we didn't float in on the ship. And all these Indians, these so-called Christian Indians and stuff, that's the way they're starting to believe now. It's a big thing now where they'll argue with you. Oh, we Indians this. But the Washita believes them, and they don't believe the traditional people. And that's why I say we're the only people that have blood degrees. Only people on this earth. We have blood degrees. And the reason for that is it was never put in the treaties. They took that and applied that. They changed that around. And the reason why they did that is someday the full bloods to three quarters are all going to be gone. And then the Washita could say, well, there's no more Indians. See, they got a 200-year plan, a 500-year plan. Trust me, that's what's going to happen. And we're getting closer and closer to that. And all these, the Indians themselves are proof of that, see. But yet a lot of these guys want to claim Indian, but yet they don't want to stand for Indian. They have that Washita mentality. And these books, I got a degree hanging on my wall, so I'm better than you, you know. And there's a common sense Lakota, like Richard, common sense thinking. Those people are smart. They're intelligent people because they could see a lot of things. But they don't have a piece of paper hanging on the wall saying you came out of some university. Look at these universities, these prominent universities now. Those were Indian boarding schools at one time. The forced education upon the Indians. They're the most prominent now. So that tells you how these Washitas really are. And they could lie to their kids all they want. Look at Trump. Look at the lies he's spreading and how much people believe that man. See, that goes to show you how much influence that one Washitu has over all these people. That's how they believe. See, and these Christians, it's the same way. The Christians are some of the most evil people alive because they use, like I was telling people before, the cross isn't a sacred symbol. It's a sword. Conquer at all costs. That's a symbol of a sword to kill people with, to dominate them, to make them believe in you. See? So the cross, the Christian or the Catholic cross, whatever, wherever they use that cross, that's not some sacred. They hung a man on it. They painted him white. Oh, he's a white man. No, that guy was, the guy they killed was a medicine man given to the Washitas. But yet they killed him because they didn't understand him. They even brag about it in these books, saying, "Oh, he
hey,
died."
Hey, Tanashi.
Yeah.
Did you ever wonder why judges wear that black robe? Why, of all colors and all uniforms they could wear, they wear a black robe, like the Catholics.
Yeah. You know. It's
today, 2021, they wear a black robe, you know?
Think about this, Tanshi, and you go, and a Native American, like, take, for instance, they're fighting, there's a court case down here in California about some kind of flats there in Arizona somewhere, but it's sacred land to the Native Americans. They're hearing it here in California, but I don't know how it's going to be. But the guy sitting up there, that black robe, he's the one that's going to decide which way it goes. And their so-called fearless leader, the governor, whatever his name was, what the heck's his name? But he's the one that gave that land to a company in the country down under. But one guy gave all that land away. It belongs to the Indians. The Indians are saying it's sacred land. But one Washitu, because he was a governor, gave it to that mining company. And now it's a big old battle, but they're here in California. And that black robe is the one that's going to decide, you know, the man of death, you know.
Hey, Tanashi.
You know, it's not right.
You know, I feel bad because I don't know why I didn't know you was on there. But, you know, right now, could you say a prayer? Because we're going to have to check out. All right. I want to tell all our listeners, thank you, John Davis, Ben Nava, and David in Virginia. Thank you for tuning in, and all everybody that tuned in tonight. And I really, I'm glad Vimber was here because I missed him. And Philip, I guess he's, you know, and you take care.
Tanshi.
Yeah.
Tanshi, there was something I wanted to talk about. If you got me on, did you guys see that Washita we had that dressed up as an Indian and was making fun of the Indians in the classroom? And that's not cool, you know?
Yep. And they do that in these modern times, you know?
Yep.
And anyway, I'm going to check out right now, and I hope that I'll, you know, that... Uh, Washitu.
Washitu, you're the only one. Washitu, you're the wicked son of the universe. If you are cursed, we are here cursed, we were first. Washitu, what you gonna do? Washitu, you have children.
Go home.